but we shall see. Interesting. After the news, almost half of teenagers live with just one parent. Yes, almost half in Britain, with family breakdowns now reaching the highest level since records began. Why is that? And I'm asking you, have you made a one-parent family work? And is there enough help out there available for you to make it work?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 2 o'clock, police in Liverpool have until lunchtime today to charge a suspect involved in the incident in the city centre on Monday. More than 60 people were injured after a car ploughed into crowds celebrating Liverpool Football Club's trophy parade. The Kings praised the strength of the community spirit in the city. Pub landlord Bobby Dick shut his doors when it happened.
I shepherded the last few people in and locked up, not knowing exactly what it was, just knowing that outside wasn't currently safe. People got split up, of course. Everyone who was in the pub knew people that were outside, fellow friends, family, supporters. So people were worried and concerned.
It's believed the car accessed closed roads by following an ambulance. The heads of the Met, MI5 and the National Crime Agency have called on the government to give them enough funding to deal with added pressures from plans to release prisoners early. It's reported they've written a letter to the Ministry of Justice warning it could be of net detriment to public safety. They say the necessary resources are needed to deal with the plan's impacts and to maintain order. The Mayor of London's backed calls for the possession of small quantities of cannabis to be decriminalised. Sir Sadiq Khan says a report today says current laws on the drug are disproportionate to the harms it can pose. Peter Reynolds from the group Clear, which campaigns for cannabis law liberalisation, told LBC that decriminalisation goes a bit too far.
Whilst I welcome the fact that people won't be penalised for doing something which they shouldn't be penalised for, the trouble is, it means that the criminals, the gangsters, the violent criminal gangs that are selling cannabis no longer have to worry about the fact that their people they're selling it to aren't going to be criminalised. And in fact, it could make the whole situation worse. That's why what we need is full legal regulation.
The government says it has no intention of reclassifying cannabis. Unauthorised fraud jumped by 14% last year compared to the year before. UK Finance says it recorded more than 3 million cases of criminals accessing someone's account and paying for goods without permission. And it's claimed home sellers across the UK are agreeing to take, on average, £16,000 less than the asking price. Zoopla says buyers have more choice now, with 13% more properties on the market than a year ago. The property website claims it's been the busiest May for home sales since the COVID pandemic. LBC weather, patchy cloud and sunny spells today and the odd light shower for most, turning cloudy and wet in the far west towards the evening, a high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Daryl Jackson.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Richard Spur.
Hello. Family breakdowns are at the highest level since records began, with almost half of teenagers now not living with both parents by the age of 14. This study calculates that an astonishing 45% of teens don't live with both parents, although official figures suggest that maybe around a quarter of families are headed by a lone parent. Now, it's something which I don't think anybody pretends to have a definitive answer to. But the study, which has been conducted by a group called the Marriage Foundation Think Tank, found that since 1970, the level of family breakdown increased fivefold. It's particularly since 1970 when we've seen families breaking up, fragmenting, and the results that, of course, have taken place. And they describe this as now having reached epidemic proportions, and they warn that as the likelihood of familial collapse is intergenerational, the figures will get worse in future years rather than better. The key component of family breakdown isn't divorce, which is at its lowest level since 1970, and I think maybe because a lot of parents don't get married, do they, nowadays? I know Nigel Farage thinks that marriage is a sacrosanct institution and a very useful one, and he may be right. But I know a huge number of of people get together and live for most of their lives and they never get married. I don't think, I mean, quite a few members of my family have brought up children without actually tying the knot in a formal way. Married parents make up 85% of families that remain intact when their children are teenagers, and now account for just 30% of families that have broken down. So I'd like to talk about this whole situation and what it's like to bring up a child or children on your own. On 0345 6060 973. Is there enough help available there for you financially and in other ways? And if you are someone who's been brought up by a single parent, or you yourself are or have been a single parent, I'd love for you to call me and tell me your story and also talk about the challenges and maybe the lovely things about being a one-man or a one-woman band. My own family has an interesting sort of complexion. When I was born, well, more or less when I was on the way, my mum got married to my dad. You used to get married back in 1979. My father had split up with his first wife and with her had three daughters. And they were all living together in Nottingham, and the daughters were of various ages, one seven, and the others in their mid-teens. The mother was suffering very badly with her nerves, and she'd moved into a house on her own. And so in the family house, there was my father and his mother, who I used to call my nan, my grandma, who'd come over from Birmingham to stay locally and help out with the three girls. Because their mother was, you know, not in a state to look after them anymore. Then my mother moved in, having married my dad, and she became their stepmother. And there are still a lot of myths and tropes that resound about stepmothers. You know, this idea of the evil stepmother that we hear in so many nursery rhymes and children's stories. And that things like that have usually got a sort of seed corn of truth. And the fact is that very often, very, very often, when another person comes in, be it a man or the woman, and takes on the role of either de facto if they're not married, or actual stepmother or stepfather if the new couple do get married, then there can be a huge amount of tension with the children. There really can. And in the case of my family, I mean, I don't remember it firsthand because I was only, well, one, you know, I'd just been born. But as I got older, I became aware that there were quite large tensions, particularly between my youngest sister, who I'm terribly sad to say we lost recently, but by the end of her life, she was on incredibly good terms with my mother. They'd built bridges, they'd got on very, very well indeed. But to start with, when my mum moved in as my dad's new wife, they got on very, very badly. And it's not difficult to understand why that would be. You know, you've got a girl of seven or eight whose mum, at such an important time, has gone away. You know, that's distressing, it's disturbing, it's bewildering. And not only that, you know, you've got another woman coming in who is showing affection to your father and who is sharing a bedroom with your father, and they are a new couple. And I can only begin to imagine how difficult and heart-rending and hard to come to terms with that must be for a young girl or boy. It was interesting, actually. My other two sisters, three half-sisters, I didn't think of them as half-sisters, just sisters, they got on a little bit better with my mum, particularly the middle eldest one. And she and my mum have always been great, great friends. Great, great friends. I don't think they've hardly ever, I think they've had a crossword in their entire life. And indeed, she sends my mother a Mother's Day card, as well as her own mother, my dad's first wife, who's still alive. And so it was a very, very complicated situation. And indeed, my mum was at one stage going to write a book about being a stepmother, and she was going to call it Someone Else's Baby. But life got in the way and she didn't have time to finish it, although it had been provisionally accepted by a publisher. And another author has stepped in and written a similar book since, so that made that idea rather redundant. But it's a very difficult situation, very, very difficult indeed. I'm pleased to say that, you know, there was never, ever any resentment of me, the new baby in the house, by my dad's new wife, from my three sisters. In fact, they were all wonderful to me, and I was lavished with huge amounts of care and attention. You know, can you imagine? I had my three sisters, I had my grandma and my mum, so I had lots of attention. But although we had problems, I think that that's actually quite a rosy picture compared to a lot of situations where a couple break up and they have a child or children, and therein lies a whole raft of problems. First of all, do you spend lots of money on getting solicitors to sort out custody? Custody can be incredibly messy. If parents can go through mediation and or even sort it out themselves, it's always better for everyone involved. And let's face it, I've got nothing against solicitors, but who wants to line solicitors' pockets for no real reason? There's the emotional welfare of the child or children to deal with when that fracture happens and one parent goes away, which is hugely distressing, can affect some children for the rest of their lives. And all children, of course, react. And although children are very quick to react to change, all children react very, very differently. And then there is the relationship, if indeed one still exists, between the parents who have split up. Do you still remain friends? If you can, I think that's almost always better for the child. But very often, there is so much hatred and bitterness and ignominy that it's just impossible for the two to talk in any sort of rational way. And very often I think what happens is that parents have to put on a brave face and pretend to have some sort of love for each other, or at least pretend to have some sort of friendship with each other for the sake of the children. And that can be incredibly difficult, I think. And so it's a hugely complex thing. I'm really genuinely quite surprised. I know I say I'm sometimes surprised by statistics, but I am surprised by these statistics. Can you believe that half of teenagers in Britain now are in one-parent families, and that the breakdown of families has never been higher since those sort of records began? Why on earth should that be? Just a side question for you there. And I'd love to hear from you if you've made it work as a single parent. Maybe you're in the process of doing so at the moment. Or indeed, if you were a child who was brought up by one parent, what was it like? And how did events pan out? 0345 6060 973. And I always love to hear your stories. Dominic is waiting very patiently in Berkshire, in Reading, and joins you now. Dominic, what would you like to say? Good morning.
I'm a palliative care patient. I'm at home, but I brought up my two children. They're 17 and 21 now.
Yeah.
My daughter's just graduated from Liverpool University. My son's an apprentice carpenter.
Great.
But it was difficult. Her mother was an alcoholic. And she had to go in 2017. So I found the strength to get rid of her. I had to restructure my business so I could look after the kids. I had the schools all over me, social workers all over me. But, they came to my rescue in the end. And my daughter's not my biological daughter, but I've been there since the day she came into the world.
Yeah.
So they're both my children.
Of course they are,
But I'll always have access to their mum. I'll never stop them from seeing their mother.
Yeah.
But she's still drinking herself to death in and out of hospital every other week. And I'm dying now with cancer, so it's a hard situation, but I just feel like I accomplished what I needed to accomplish.
Well, it sounds to me like you've accomplished an enormous amount in incredibly difficult circumstances. It's amazing, isn't it, sometimes, the reserves of emotional energy that we perhaps never realised we had, but that when it comes to, and I don't have children myself, so I can't speak from first hand, but only from witnessing other things within my family and amongst friends. When it comes to children, I think people will move mountains, won't they, just to make things as right as they can.
Yeah, you do whatever you have to do for your kids. You still want to discipline them. I was quite lucky. I'd got a successful business, but so we had money. Now money's a big help.
Mm.
A lot of people don't have money, but I had money, and
yeah,
that makes a hell of a lot of difference. But both my children wanted to live with me. There was no question that they were going to live with their mum, but she had an opportunity to look after them when COVID came.
Yeah.
And she couldn't do it. She came around here, but she was always drunk.
Mm.
And I had a phone call from the school to say that social services were going to take my son and my daughter could look after herself. But and my brother's a social worker, so we managed to step in and we found it was a member of my ex's family, actually, that took him in. And I'll be forever grateful. And we got through it. We got through it, and, yeah. Yeah.
And it's been hugely hard for you, and you yourself are in palliative care, but still very much in touch with both of your children, and I would imagine very...
They live at home with me, and I'm popping in and out of the room every day of the week.
Yeah. And
so
of course...
The daughters have a little break in Malta at the moment to celebrate a degree, looking like she's going to get a first, and, my son goes off with his... in his car every morning, he passes his driving test, and,
a huge source of pride for you. Huge source of pride.
Yeah, I've managed to get him on the... I've done as much as I can do.
Absolutely.
To get him on a straight and narrow.
And you've raised another very important issue, which I think is when it's not necessarily perhaps that the relationship has broken down because of an affair or an argument, but if one parent has a problem, in the case of your wife, alcoholism, sometimes it can be drugs or gambling or whatever. If one has a problem which means that they're no longer safe or capable or reliable to look after the children, then an enormous burden falls upon the other parent to fill that void, doesn't it?
Oh, it's enough to... it affects everyone. The alcohol affects everyone around her. And, but she can't stop. She won't stop.
No.
And, she might... The way she's going, she might go before me, and then... I'd love it for her to be clean and move into the house and look after the kids, because her name's still on the property. So they still, there's all that to sort out as well. But I've got a good lawyer, and I trust people when to sort it all out when I'm gone.
Well, Dominic, not only do I appreciate your call enormously, and I can hear how desperate you are for your former wife to be able to get clean and have a better relationship with her children. But all I can say is that you must be hugely proud of both of them. And it is a credit and a tribute to you that they've turned out to be successful individuals. And I'm delighted to hear that is the case. And I wish you the very best. 0345 606 0973. Almost half of teenagers now living with just one parent. It's a very, very different juggling act. Dominic mentioned money. Money and lack of it. Money and lack of it, even if there are two parents, can be an enormous problem and lead to endless arguments and rows and unhappiness. But then, of course, if there's just the one parent and perhaps the relationship's broken down to the extent that not enough money's coming through to look after the kids, that, again, can be just the most massive headache. So there are so many things to think about. What's it like? What has it been like for you being a one-parent family? And if you're, the child of a one-parent family, what was your experience like? And what challenges did you find that together you had to try and surmount? 0345 6060 973.
LBC.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips?
Your best bet is to play BetVictor's daily free-to-play guaranteed prize wheel.
What guaranteed prizes does this guaranteed prize wheel guarantee?
The guaranteed prize wheel means you're guaranteed to win prizes, like free bets, free spins, exclusive offers and cash. Guaranteed.
What was it called again?
The guaranteed prize wheel.
Well, I guarantee I'll give it a spin.
And I guarantee you'll win a prize.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on BetVictor's guaranteed prize wheel. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. Opt in and spin the wheel. Rewards expire 24 hours after claiming. Gambleaware.org.
Where would we be without the curiosity to explore?
It takes us to new places.
It even got us to the moon.
And now there's never been a better time to satisfy your curiosity about electric cars. With great offers in our award-winning range, including the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, available with £2,000 deposit contribution and 0% APR. Discover more at Hyundai.co.uk. Ends 30th of June 25. Finance subject to status. Hyundai Motor UK Limited is a credit broker, not a lender. Terms apply.
Richard Spur on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Good morning. We're talking about what it's like to be a single parent and the obstacles that you have to surmount. Is there really enough help out there? And perhaps there's a support network that you were able to access, or advice that you were able to access if you became a single parent, which others might not know about. And which you may well be able to tell them, you know, something to their advantage. Let's have a look. I'm going to read a few messages before I go to our next call, because Diane is in Northern Ireland and is on WhatsApp this morning and says this: I absolutely believe that because of what happened to me in my young years, that it sealed my fate in my life. But I'm very proud of raising a brilliant daughter on my own with the help of my late parents. I'm going to come on to talk about grandparents, because very often when one partner leaves, the grandparents, as was the case with my dad's mum, my grandma, initially, the grandparents step in and are invaluable. I wonder whether that's something that that you'd like to talk about. Very proud of raising a brilliant daughter on my own. People often talk about broken families. It is a very negative phrase, that, isn't it? Broken families. It smacks of something being defunct or not functional. Mine isn't. Mine is not broken, says Diane. I would love the government to help our single parents more, as it can be very tough. And Kelso, my friend, stop criticising stepmothers. And I wasn't criticising stepmothers. I was saying that there was a trope, the trope of the evil stepmother, which is still very often propagated. It was only when I broke up with my wife after 30 years relationship when I realised the pain and suffering my dad went through with my lovely and caring mum. Lots of men are in jail now because they are stupid and become violent to their partners. Big up to late dads and our late morning, late moaning jealous mums. At times, stepmums are very good because they bring happiness and peace to our dads. That is absolutely right. It is absolutely right. And in the end, my mother, who became stepmother of my three sisters, we became, you know, really rather firm friends with all of them, eventually. 0345 6060973. Kaz is in Swanscombe in Kent. Morning, Kaz.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks for calling. What's your story?
So I am actually a single parent. Mm. And that came about because of a breakdown relationship when I was pregnant. But the decision to have that separation was actually informed by my upbringing, where I saw my dad struggle after my mum's mental health challenges. Mm. And it just sowed the seed that a happy relationship in an emotionally healthy environment is worth more than two parents in a house. My mum's much, much better now. But at that time, I felt like my dad really suffered. And my mum also suffered as well. So fast forward to myself, and I worked really hard, got into a good career, all of this. And I think it's my career that's protected me from some of the challenges.
That's interesting.
Like what people talk about and they struggle with when they're single parents. So I'm sure, you know, you've heard about all the cost of living increases, the cost of childcare. You know, it's enough to make you not want to work. Like, I'm paying over £1,000 a month for childcare on my own.
Do you know, the cost of childcare is astronomical. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I think to myself, if I didn't have the career that I had and the support structure, so I've got godparents, aunties, uncles, friends who are on hand to help me, babysitters in the local community who help me so much with pickups, drop-offs, weekends, evenings, if I need help. But it costs, all of that costs, you know, and even if it's just a token gift I'll give someone, like, no support is truly free other than, like, maybe my parents.
Yeah.
So I often wonder, how do other people do it? Do they just stay at home or not work? Like, which one? Because you can't do both, really. You can't work full-time and have full childcare. So, yeah, so my story is that, you know, you can actually survive and you can pour a lot into your child if you are very intentional about being a single parent in that way. But it is a struggle.
Do you think there's an extent to which the bond between a single parent and their child could almost be, in some senses, stronger than it might have been if there were two parents around?
Yeah, a lot of people do comment on that when they see me and my daughter, because we are inseparable and she does want to go off and have her own life and her own world. She's just three, she's a toddler. But... You know, she has like her friends at nursery. She has, you know, her aunties and uncles who she loves spending time with. And she loves to do that. But we have such a special bond because we're together the rest of the time. And we have like so many unspoken understandings. Like, I just understand her all the time. And I didn't have that with my mum. I was number two or four. And I just don't think she had time to dedicate that to me, even when she was well. And so, yeah, so I think if you have like a smaller family and you're a single parent, you do have to be so intentional about that love that you pour into your child.
It is a very different dynamic, isn't it, when you've got lots of kids around? I mean, as I say, my dad had three girls, my sisters, with his first wife, and dilute's not maybe the right word, but I think very often only children... grow up to have quite a different mindset to children who've had lots of siblings around. May I ask you, Kaz, you mentioned your work and how really that was a saving grace for you. Was it the extent to which that was supplying money, which of course was crucial, or was it just the fact that you had a distraction, a social side outside the home, outside the caring for your daughter, which was able to lift you up a little bit?
Both, actually. So because I was like almost 20 years into my career when I had my daughter, I was like in a very senior position and financially okay. And like, I was able to like secure where we lived, buy property, all this kind of stuff. But it also gave me that break, that mental break of being a mum. So I could go to work and fulfill another part of myself. So I was a better mum when I got home. So actually both.
And, I mean, there are two separate scenarios, really, aren't there? There's the one where you become pregnant with a child, and during that pregnancy, the father of the child leaves, you know, never to be seen again, and so you're a single mum right from the get-go. And there's the case where the father or the mother has been around and the relationship fractures later on. It's both situations are incredibly difficult, but yeah. I suspect there must be something quite special right from the very beginning. If, as a woman, you know, you give birth to a child, knowing that it may not see its father, and that it's just you and them right from the start, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's very different. I think the trauma of a breakdown of a relationship, whilst the child can see it, maybe even understands it, and misses the father, is very different to not having a relationship with the father, but having 100% of your mum and everything being so intentional. So I'm not like a harried mother or, you know, stressful. She's not watching any arguments or, you know, like all the emotional breakdown of a relationship. She hasn't seen that or experienced it. And so she's not been exposed to that trauma. And so it is really, really different. And the decisions that you make when you're saying, okay, it's just going to be the two of us for however long, you are so intentional. Everything from where you live to what nursery you pick to what hours you can work, everything, you know it's just going to be the two of you. And so you have to be so intentional.
I wonder how many, and it very much doesn't sound, well, it absolutely doesn't sound like the situation in your case, but I wonder to what extent some kids whose parents have left, you know, when they're young or one parent has left when they're young, when they're a teenager, grow up to harbour, you know, a degree of resentment, perhaps, that happened, you know, why their parents should have, or one of their parents should have abandoned them. It can be very hard to understand. I know that's not your situation, but I just wondered if you wanted and if others wanted to comment upon it. You know, you sort of feel like, well, it's not just that my mum or my dad has rejected one or the other. They've almost sort of rejected me at the same time, and they've gone off with another man or another woman,
And that's because they love them more than they love me. I imagine a lot of children who've been in that situation do feel resentment because of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think because that's not necessarily our reality now, but I'm sure as she grows up, my daughter might have some of those feelings and questions. Like, we're very lucky that I've maintained a positive relationship with her father's family. And so she sees the grandma, the aunties, the uncles on that side.
Oh, that's helpful, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so she'll always be able to ask those questions of someone other than me. And I want for her to be able to have that dialogue with them because they were present in both the, you know, breakdown of relationship and the before and after. And so they have, like, an understanding of it. But, for some kids, they never get that closure. And I think that can be really hard, and they carry it with them forever.
Well, it sounds to me, Kaz, like, you've had a hard situation, but not just through your own endeavours, but with the help of the family support that were around you, you've managed to raise a little girl who... It's just so lovely when you talk about how strong that bond is between the two of you. That's such a special bond, and nothing's ever going to break that. Really lovely talking to you. Thanks to Kaz, who's in Kent there. It can be very hard, can't it, if you haven't got aunties, uncles... grandparents around, they can be such a lifeline. Even if you've got two parents around and either one or both parents are working, it can be so helpful when you've got grandparents who can step in. But if you haven't, it must be very, very hard. Are you someone that has struggled or are you somebody who is struggling with childcare? It's an eye-watering cost. It is an eye-watering cost, childcare. And yet, in many situations, there is absolutely no alternative. If there aren't grandparents around, if there aren't other people around. We've had a couple of mentions of social services. Have they been involved, perhaps, if you've had a breakup? And what was that experience like? And perhaps you're somebody who did have to give up a job that you loved, because there simply wasn't the amount of time in the day to look after both your children and to deal with work. Going to read a quick message. We've got some other news to bring you as well off the headlines, and then we're going to return to this subject. Just one from Andrew here in Pembrokeshire. It's not only divorced parents. My wife died aged 31. Our daughter wasn't even two at the time. Life has never been the same. I still miss her every day. 15 years later. It's been a real struggle bringing up our daughter alone. Life's been really difficult for my daughter growing up without her mum. What you don't think about is how tough life has been financially as a widowed single dad. I want to hear from single dads as much as single mums this morning. My daughter is now going to university in September, so like Dominic, your other caller, I'm a very proud dad, from Andrew in Pembrokeshire, and that's great to hear. 0345 606 0973, and we'll talk more in a few moments' time. I'm Richard Spur. Time for the LBC News headlines today from Daryl Jackson.
Police in Liverpool have until lunchtime today to question a suspect involved in the incident in the city centre on Monday. More than 60 people were injured after a car ploughed into crowds celebrating Liverpool Football Club's trophy parade. The Mayor of London's backed calls for the possession of small quantities of cannabis to be decriminalised. Sir Sadiq Khan says a report today says current laws on the drug are disproportionate to the harms it can pose. And an authorised fraud jumped by 14% last year compared to the year before. UK Finance says it recorded more than 3 million cases of criminals accessing someone's account and paying for goods without permission. LBC weather: patchy cloud with sunny spells today and the odd light shower for most. Turning cloudy and windy in the far west towards the evening, a high of 23 degrees.
LBC, Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Still to come this morning with Nick Ferrari at breakfast, after Nigel Farage launches a dramatic and costly bid to woo left-wing voters, do you trust the Reform leader with the economy? In a fresh blow to motorists, the congestion charge is set to rise to £18. And should cannabis become a legalised drug? You'll hear from the former Justice Secretary, Lord Faulkner. All of that and more still to come with Nick Ferrari at breakfast this morning from 7 here at LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Listen on your radio and on Global Player. This is LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like. From real Octopus Energy calls.
You just get it right, the customer service, the sort of communication. You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
Now, focus on your car. That's right, the one you're ready to sell. See it clearly in your mind, waiting to be sold. We can make it disappear. Just watch carefully. Your car sold, collected, and paid for in almost no time at all. Start selling your car today. It's not magic. It's Motorway.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
This is LBC with Richard Spur. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Good morning. Almost half of teenagers live with just one parent, with family breakdowns reaching the highest level since records began. We're talking about whether you've made a one-parent family work, the challenges that that has raised, and whether there is enough help out there to help you make it work. And we'll return to that subject in a few moments' time. First, though, and this is a story which interests me enormously, because the endless exponential march of AI just seems to be getting greater by the day. But it does have very negative sides as well as positive ones. One of the UK's leading voiceover artists is calling for tightening of copyright and GDPR laws after her voice was used by AI. Scotland's national rail company, ScotRail, unveiled its new AI announcements last week, provided by Reed Speaker. But after 2 years of a legal dispute with the Swedish company, ScotRail, buying the automated voice model was more than just an unpleasant surprise for Gayenne Potter. Well, LBC Scotland reporter Rebecca Brady's been on a train and catching up with her.
This is Paisley Gilmore Street. This train is for Glasgow Central.
That voice isn't just an automation. It's actually cloning the voice of the woman in front of me.
Hi, I'm Gayenne Potter and I'm a professional voiceover artist. You won't know my face, but you will know my voice. And now a robotic model of me is being used by ScotRail to be the new AI announcer.
You didn't record these for ScotRail. You didn't know they were going to use your voice. You didn't consent. You weren't paid. How does it feel to hear yourself used as AI?
It's really distressing. It makes me exceptionally angry. It's not only my job, but it's my biometric data as a human being. And to know that a company out there are using it without my consent is an absolute disgrace. I'm so upset.
In 2021, Gayenne did sign a contract to do limited voice work for a company called Reed Speaker. What did you understand that that work would be used for?
I understood that the work would be used for e-learning or for visually impaired readers, that it wouldn't be sold to a third party.
And after finding out that Iona was being sold around the world, Gayenne went to lawyers and submitted a complaint to the Information Commissioner's Office based on GDPR, essentially saying this is a breach of personal data because Gayenne's voice is identifiably hers. Then the sticking point. The ICO said because Reed Speaker is based in Sweden and didn't have customers using the voice in the UK, it wasn't in their jurisdiction. But then ScotRail unveiled Iona. And all of this has wider impacts than just on one person. Mathilde Pavie is one of the lawyers representing Gayenne.
You can't do good business in a space where you don't have clear regulation. AI needs to train on content in order to be able to learn, quote unquote, a task. And many artists, rightly so, say that if your tool is going to compete with me by creating content that comes close to what I sell for a living, and if you're going to use my previous work in order to create that technology, we should sit down and talk about a revenue share.
ScotRail have told us they have no plans to stop using your voice and say it is an issue for you to take up with Reed Speaker. What do you make of that?
Well, Reed Speaker say that it's an issue for me to take up with ScotRail. So either way, they will both be hearing from my legal team again.
And as for Reed Speaker, the company says it has a contract regarding the use of Ms. Potter's voice. A spokesperson says they're aware of her concerns and have comprehensively addressed those in the past. So for now, Gayenne has a personal battle on her hands, but one which could have ramifications for regulation across the UK. Rebecca Brady for LBC from a Paisley to Glasgow train.
Really interesting report, that. And as somebody who does work in the voice industry, I'm quaking in my boots if I was wearing any. And that's the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? You know, the number of jobs and the number of professions which could well be usurped by AI, not least of all film actors. I was watching, someone showed me a clip of an advert the other day with what looked like a human, nobody would have known it wasn't a human being, walking down the street, talking to camera, selling a product. And it was AI. It was completely created by AI. And it is mind-boggling. And you know, I know it's going to do a lot to help us, particularly in the world of medicine and all that sort of stuff. Vaccinations, yes, that's great. But I feel so sorry for poor Guyan Potter. I mean, that's sort of, it's a real violation to have your voice cloned in that way. Anyhow, tomorrow on the programme, after 1 o'clock, you'll be hearing from Fevzi Turkout, who is the editor for GadgetDetective.com and knows a great deal about artificial intelligence, AI, and its a ceaseless march. So tomorrow, if you want to have a think about that now, your questions will be answered, your concerns and your hopes and aspirations about AI will be talked about, and I'm really looking forward to having that AI hour tomorrow at 1 o'clock. In the meantime, we're discussing something which, I mean, I have a limited experience of, given that when I was young, my mother came in as a stepmother to three girls, my sister's, my father's children from his first wife. But the news this morning is that almost half of teenagers live with just one parent, with family breakdowns reaching the highest level since records began. Apparently, since the 1970s in particular, family breakdowns have been on the increase. Why is that, do you think? What has changed in Britain? What has changed in society to mean that families are less cohesive, are more likely to split? Are there external tensions? Is it money? What, you know, is it the fact that, particularly since maybe the late 90s, more and more people are meeting up on dating sites and having an affairs and extramarital relationship? I just don't know. It could be a combination of all of them. But are you somebody who has experience of being a single parent, or were you brought up by one parent? What were the nice parts of that, the lovely parts? We had a wonderful call not just long ago from a lady who brought up her daughter from birth on her own. And what were the challenges that you had to overcome? 0345 6060973. What's it like bringing up a child on your own? Same number for WhatsApp. Text 84850. And you can always ask Alexa to send a comment to LBC. Linda's in Hackney. Morning, Linda.
Oh, good morning. Mine is not so happy, but now I am. But I had two boys, and unfortunately, I became a single parent. I left. It was the hardest thing I ever had to do, to walk out on my partner with two boys, one of 5 and one of 8 months. I was in bed and breakfast in one room for 6 weeks till I got my house. I found it very hard because my youngest boy was autistic and was born with club feet, so he had to have lots of operations and lots of visits to hospital. And, you know, it was quite traumatic for me as well because he didn't understand.
Mm.
And then I met someone else, and that didn't go well either.
No.
And so, like, in the end, unfortunately, but for my boy's sake, I had to put them in foster care. But I had contact with them, and they had a better life, and they're grown up now, and they're doing very well, and it's just something I had to live with. It was my mistakes.
Well, yeah, you say that, but at the time, this has got to be one of the most enormous decisions that any, I was going to say any mother, but any mother or father has to make. You know, do they walk away from their children because of an overpowering problem that's hanging over in a different part of their life? I mean, I can't imagine a harder decision.
I had the children with me because the father was violent, and he used to hit me all the time. And then he started on the baby, and that was it. I had to move. I had to get out quickly.
Of course, absolutely.
And, you know, for their sake more than mine.
And I mean, the way that society treats single parents, particularly single mothers, has changed so radically, hasn't it, over the years? I mean, back in the day, the sort of 50s and 60s, and even to an extent in perhaps the early 70s, very often, if a young, if a girl under the age of 16 or 18 had a child, it was hushed up. You know, she was sent away for the pregnancy, and then either what used to happen was that the child would be put into foster care, or on many occasions, what would happen is that the mother, so the grandmother of the child, the mother of the girl that had the child, would bring the child up as her own daughter. And I know two cases where that's happened. That used to happen quite commonly, but thank goodness we don't have those sort of prejudices and taboos at the moment about that.
I'm talking about 40 years ago, because I'm in my 70s now, but it's affected my whole life, because I love families, you know, I'm a family-orientated person, and it just broke my heart. But I managed to get through it all these years, and my young son's doing very well. You know, he's in sheltered housing in Eastbourne, and my other son, he's chefing.
He's a chef?
Yeah.
And you still talk to them on a regular basis?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And I'm actually quite successful now. I write books and I do comedy as well.
I think I remember you saying, actually, on another occasion that you...
Oh, yes, sorry, I do myself.
Don't be sorry. No, it's just it stuck in my mind because it was quite an unusual thing. And when the two of you and your sons, you talk about the past and you talk about what happened, have they come to terms with the fact that the father was such a difficult and you know, really not pleasant character? And have they come to terms with the fact that you didn't really have any choice than to do what you did?
Yes. The young one is autistic, so he's not with me. He's in a sheltered place being cared for. But my other son does blame me a bit, but I had to explain to him he didn't see all of the stuff that went on. When he was at school, you know, I got beaten and verbally abused and all sorts, and he took my money and stuff, you know, for drink.
Well, Linda, it sounds to me like you had pretty much the worst time at that point in your life that anybody could. But now, at least...
It's made me much stronger person.
Yeah. I can hear that. You're a survivor, aren't you?
I don't know if I tell you, I'm actually a miracle baby myself.
Are you really?
Yes, I was born 11 weeks early.
Which in perhaps back in the day
in
was...
1950s. Just at the beginning of the National Health Service when it was starting in the early 50s.
And the technology
I
that they had...
I owe my life to the doctors and nurses, and that's why I'm on their side most of the time.
Well, it sounds to me like you've been a bit of a survivor and a battler ever since you came into the world, to be honest.
Yes, I'm only 4 foot nothing, so, like, you know, but I'm a fighter, and I believe in a lot of causes, and I support lots of different things, and I love LBC. I'm on quite a lot with other presenters as well, so I do like to talk too much.
Well, that's I'm very, very happy to share you with my excellent colleagues. Linda, thank you very much indeed for getting in touch. Still time for you to call. It's an interesting subject, I think, and it's both worrying and I think hugely curious that the level of family breakdown in this country should be at its highest level since records began. There are a lot of pressures on people, the cost of living, of course. Yes, there are more opportunities for people to have liaisons online, which can lead to breakdowns. I mean, people have always had affairs, but now I don't think it's ever been easier to do in secret and covertly. But I just wonder as well, and I wonder what you think about this, whether that money is at the root of a lot of these breakdowns. You know, the fact that when there isn't a lot of money around, it causes a great deal of stress within a family. I mean, I remember my parents arguing about money on a number of occasions. But, you know, if you've got constant arguments going on about where is the next bill, where's the money for the next bill coming from, you know, how are we going to afford this, that and the other, it can just, you know, cause huge amounts of tension. And, of course, if you're a single parent and you have to work in order to bring that all essential money in, then the effect of that is going to mean that you're going to have less time to spend with your child or children. And it may be that you're not there at home when they get back from school and they have to go and get their own dinner, or they have to go to a fried chicken shop on the way home because you're not going to be there to cook them something. That must be very, very hard. But I think it is one of the most difficult decisions that any parent has to make, to walk away from a child. But sometimes, the external factors can just be too overpowering, and they feel that for their own preservation, it's the only option they have. Sometimes they regret it later. Sometimes there are recriminations from the children, but those recriminations get sorted out later in life. But do give me a call if you have experience of bringing up a child on your own. How helpful were relations, particularly grandparents, I think, often step in and are essential. Childcare is hugely expensive, and that may be something else that you'd like to struggle, that you've struggled with. Let's not perhaps focus entirely on the more difficult sides of things like that, because as you've heard from a number of our callers this morning, I think the bond that can exist between a single parent and a child can be very special and very strong and very enduring. So your experience of that situation and what sort of help is out there for you? Could more be done, perhaps, to help those who are single parents? And indeed, Mr. Farage, as part of his speech yesterday, is encouraging us to have more and more children through his various policies. 0345 6060973. WhatsApp the same number, or text 84850.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
A confusion, a puzzle, a bewilderment of U-turns, but are there some more? Is there another one on the way?
Education Secretary Bridget Phillipson joining us. It is reported that pressure is mounting on the Prime Minister to scrap the two-child benefit limit. And the commentators who are saying that this is driven by Nigel Farage and some of his policies to try and attract Red Wall or Labour voters, how would you respond?
But Nigel Farage has never been on the side of working people. He opposes the measures that we are introducing that will help working people. For example, our employment rights bill that will give more people rights at work.
He doesn't agree with the two-child benefit cap, Secretary of State.
Well, he flip-flops on all of this. He's backed it in the past. And
doesn't your government flip-flop a bit?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back this morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
You could be a lotto millionaire like Terry. Get your ticket for tonight's draw. The National Lottery. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Search Kayak for great deals on flight. Wait, that doesn't say flights. Search Kayak for great deals on car hire. Huh. With Kayak, you can compare hundreds of car rental sites to find great deals. Even better, you see costs up front. And if it's flexibility you're after, Kayak's got a handy free cancellation filter. Lovely stuff. So next time you're searching for flights, I mean car hire, at home or for your holes, search Kayak and go see for yourself.
Hey, Sandra, listen to this email. Felicitations and unalloyed joy to you. Could you help with a small inconvenience? I possess $32 million in an account belonging to my father, the Prince. We need an honest person to bank this amount for us. We're quits in, babe.
Some things are too good to be true. The Specsavers Too Good deal isn't. Get two pairs of glasses for £70. Include single vision lenses to the same prescription. Conditions apply. Ask in store for details.
Quits in!
If you've been injured in an accident at work, you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation. Talk to Harris Fowler today. For over 25 years, we've helped people who've been injured at work, in a warehouse, a factory, on site, or anywhere. With a 97% success rate, call the award-winning Harris Fowler now. 0800 213 214. It's no win, no fee, no risk. Harris Fowler, the personal injury solicitor.
Richard Spur on LBC. Text 84850.
Good morning. After the news, we're going to be talking about the fact that Sir Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, is now backing calls for the possession of small quantities of natural cannabis. That's to say, not many of the slightly synthetic derivatives, natural cannabis, to be decriminalised, saying these current rules simply cannot be justified. Now, of course, it's sparked debate. Many people feel that any quantity of cannabis, simply possessed rather than intended to deal, is something which, if we legalise it, we go down the route of opening the floodgates to harder drugs and all those sort of arguments. And I think that as a nation, we are becoming far more liberal, far more enlightened, and far more used to the fact that, frankly, people smoke cannabis all over the place. You know, you can't really walk down the street without smelling cannabis pretty much anywhere these days. But it's quite a bold move as Mayor of London, I think, for Sir Sadiq Khan to back calls for the possession of those small quantities simply to be ignored by the authorities and not even be illegal. You're going to be hearing from one of our correspondents, Charles Feldman, who lives in the US, where, of course, in much of the US, cannabis has been legalised. And as far as I can tell, it's worked out rather well. We always used to cite Holland and Amsterdam as a place where the liberal attitude towards drugs and cannabis had worked. But they're a very different people to the Brits. We have different mindsets to our cousins over the North Sea. But the Americans, in particular in places like, you know, Washington and California, seem to make it work pretty well. So I'm going to be asking you whether you agree with the Mayor of London, whether you agree with Sir Sadiq Khan, who's backing these calls for possession of small quantities of natural cannabis to be decriminalised. How will that improve things? And, I mean, I wonder whether you're somebody like me who has no real moral objection to somebody smoking cannabis as long as it doesn't cause any harm to other people, but who has a sort of aesthetic problem with it in that the smell is horrible. And where I live at the moment, pretty much everybody, I think, smokes weed in their room. And that's all right, you know, they're not doing anybody any harm, but if you don't like the smell, it can be pretty unpleasant. There's always so much to be said about this. Charles will be talking about things from an American perspective, and I'll be asking you to call me after three about whether you feel that this legalisation of the possession of small quantities is a good idea, which the Mayor of London clearly does. In the meantime, I'd like to read some more of your messages about growing up as the son or daughter of a single parent, or indeed being a single parent yourself. We know now that nearly half of all teenagers in this country live with only one parent. Astonishing, I think. And family breakdowns have never been at such a high level, particularly, it would seem, since the early 1970s. More families have been breaking up in this country for whatever reason. Message here on WhatsApp, 0345 6060973. An anonymous message. Good morning, Richard. My ex-wife and I brought our daughter up in joint custody. We put our differences aside for our daughter and we remain friends. And indeed, I know of couples who, you know, the marriage or the partnership was on the rocks for a long, long, long time. And they made a conscious decision to live together until the children left home. Lots and lots of couples do that. They try and be as amicable as possible. Yes, you can't always hide the cracks, but there are so many couples that do that. They stay together until the kids have gone to university and then they split up. This is from Paul, who's on the night shift. You do work hard, Paul, don't you? You do work hard. Richard, my mother pretty much brought me and my three siblings up, and I regularly remember getting Christmas dinners off St. Vincent de Paul. Always was proud of her for doing her best. This from Angus on the text, 84850. I've long reckoned with regard to children brought up by single parents that what's worse than coming from a broken home is remaining in a broken home. And for me, what that means is that it is infinitely better to be brought up in a peaceful environment with one parent where, okay, perhaps money is tight, perhaps you don't always get to see them as much as you might have done because they have to work and there's nowhere else to support them. But, you know, at least you're not in a home where there is constant argument, there's constant fighting, constant shouting, maybe even constant violence, which can cause children irreparable damage. And, you know, if you talk to teachers very often, they say they can tell sometimes, teachers can tell when at home there's a problem. There's a problem between the parents because the child becomes withdrawn or some children become unruly, or the teachers who are observant and perceptive can very often tell when there's a problem at home. And in days gone by, they often, I think, would have actually approached the child and talked about it. But I think perhaps these days that's not the sort of thing that they are encouraged or indeed allowed to do. And Angus is absolutely right that it's far better to be brought up by one parent in a peaceful and secure environment than to be brought up in an environment where you've got two parents, but they are forever at each other's throats. This is from Donald. Hello, Donald. Richard, is it not the case that in the 50s, in general, the wife didn't have a job? yeah, that is the case. You know, it was the age of the housewife. And it was very rare for a woman to work. However, my grandmother in the 40s and 50s and 60s, she did do, I think, a sort of cleaning job during the day while the kids were at school, just to earn a bit of extra money. But she was there in the morning, there in the evening. You know, the wife didn't have a job, so didn't have an independent income, and so couldn't maintain the weans on her own, and just had to remain in a loveless marriage. Furthermore, did the morals of the time not deem a husband rather a cad if he ditched his wife? Well, I think they certainly did. And Alan in Middlesbrough, Richard, I've not seen my son in 19 years. He was two. She just took off and disappeared with him. There wasn't anything wrong with our relationship. If I'd done that, I would have been arrested. No contact at all. She had bipolar, and I found that people with bipolarity don't have emotions. Well, that's not true, but there can be really rather erratic differences between the way that they behave. How would you feel if you hadn't seen your child for 19 years? Well, if I were had to have a child and I didn't see it for nearly two decades, I should imagine I'd feel rather wretched, Alan. I'm sorry to hear that that's your situation. Good morning, I'm Richard Spur. Well, as you may have heard already, Sir Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, is backing calls for the possession of small quantities of natural cannabis to be decriminalised. But is he right?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 3 o'clock, detectives are continuing to trawl through CCTV and take witness statements after a car drove into crowds at Liverpool FC's trophy parade on Monday. 65 people were injured while celebrating in the city centre. A 53-year-old man is still being questioned on suspicion of attempted murder and drug driving. Well, the Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, has been visiting Liverpool